Hello and welcome to the Small Business School. My name is Craig Staley, 20-year retail veteran, e-commerce practitioner, and entrepreneur. Each week, I will interview a new small business owner that we can learn from to take our businesses to the next level. Now, let's go. My guest today is Charlene Walters. She is a mentor and author of Launch Your Inner Entrepreneur. Today, we talk a little bit about what imposter syndrome is and what you can do to overcome it. If you're an entrepreneur and you've tried something new, likely you've felt imposter syndrome before, even if you didn't know exactly what it is. So Charlene's going to help us with that today. She also talks in her new book, there is some different workbook style activities, and she takes us through one of those activities that maybe can help us as we work through our entrepreneurial journey. So all that and a lot more today on the podcast with Charlene Walters. All right. I'd like to welcome my next guest. It's Charlene Walters. She's the mentor and author of the book, Launch Your Inner Entrepreneur. How are you today, Charlene?
I'm doing great, Craig. Thanks so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here with everyone today.
Well, thanks for joining us. Can you give us a little bit of your personal background before we get started?
Yeah, definitely. So I am originally from Connecticut and I was an English major undergrad and I hated the cold weather. So as soon as I could, I moved to Miami, Florida and I got a sales position and that sort of opened up my eyes to business. I started really enjoying it. I worked for a floral importer and we imported flowers from Colombia and Ecuador, and then we sold them to wholesalers across the United States. And the way it works, it's sort of like the stock exchange. The prices go up and down. And I was really good at sales. Surprisingly, I didn't think it was definitely something that was in me. And I just really enjoyed business from there and decided to go back to school and get my MBA. And when I got finished the MBA, I'm sort of one who I hit a milestone and then I want to do something else. I applied for a position. I saw a position for an associate dean for a business department at a college and it said must have MBA. And I thought, well, I have an MBA now. Here I go. And that sort of jump-started me into higher ed and marketing. I've sort of been back and forth between the two. I went back and got my PhD in marketing. And then I eventually developed a digital entrepreneurship MBA program and learned all about entrepreneurship, was working with entrepreneurs, was mentoring them through the program, developing our curriculum. And I sort of have just been hooked ever since. It started working as a side hustle and mentoring and speaking and doing some corporate training and then just jumped off into entrepreneurship in general. So it's been a fun ride.
Very interesting. Well, that transitions pretty well. So give us a little bit of the background on your business and how you came to write this book too.
Yeah. So I was mentoring some students in our program when I was with the university. And then I also started mentoring some entrepreneurs through Entrepreneur Magazine's Ask an Expert platform. So I really love working with entrepreneurs. It's so rewarding, just kind of helping people out there achieve their goals. And I was also doing more corporate training and workshops, talking about innovation and resilience and creativity. And so that just really became my passion, just helping people out there. And I've always had a goal to become an author. It's just been a lifelong goal. That's why I was an English major. And so I always had it in the back burner. And I had a colleague who said that he was writing a book. And I thought, you know what, I got to get back to my book writing. So I actually wrote two books now. I wrote one, which is sort of a slice of life memoir that I haven't published yet. And then I decided to write a business book. And I really thought about where could I add value? What do I like to speak about? What do I like to talk about? And everything sort of came together in terms of entrepreneurial mindset. And I started looking at the books that were on the market and there weren't many out there specifically for women. So that's why I wrote the book, Launch Your Inner Entrepreneur. And it's sort of focused on entrepreneurial mindset for women. It definitely is. But it's also something that men can learn from as well.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I was going to ask, you know, is there some special secret sauce for women, for entrepreneurs versus men? Or, you know, is it really something that all of us can probably learn from?
There's, you know, there are certain areas that women struggle more with than men, for sure. And it's sort of aimed that way. But they are areas that many men also can struggle with as well. So there's certainly something to learn from for everyone. And I kind of couple it with some plans and some steps to sort of push yourself further. A lot about being successful as an entrepreneur, as you know, Craig, has a lot to do with your mindset and how much you're willing to put in and how much you keep plowing ahead towards your goals.
I'm not too proud to admit I've read Girl Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis, and I'm obviously not a girl. I have a beard, but, you know, I've got some takeaways from it. You know,
you
it's obviously
can.
Aimed at women, but, you know, we'll all get something from it.
Absolutely.
So one thing I'd like to start with is imposter syndrome. I think that is something that it's more in the forefront. I think even if you don't know what imposter syndrome is, or what that label means, you've probably experienced it in some way, shape, or form if you're an entrepreneur, or maybe even to regular life. You know, I've gone through it. What is imposter syndrome, first of all? And then what can we do to overcome it?
So imposter syndrome is that feeling that you don't really belong. You've only gotten lucky. You've only kind of happened into your success. It wasn't that you earned it. You don't really have the expertise. And it's just silly. It's just something internally that you're telling yourself. It's not actually true. It's baloney. So the first thing you need to do is tell yourself that this is just a feeling. This is not a reality. I have deserved my success. I've gotten to exactly where I need to be. And you can't discount yourself. Something else you can do, and we all suffer from imposter syndrome, like you said. Like, I've definitely suffered it from it before. I have days where I'm on top of the world, then I have other days where I'm beating myself up and thinking, oh, this is not going to work. And you really have to just change your mindset. We can all get hung up on those little rejections, things that don't go perfectly, and nobody's perfect out there. So you have to remind yourself that. But also remind yourself of all the good qualities that you have. Make a list if you need to. Oh, here are all my accomplishments. Here's my expertise. Here's what's great about me. Maybe call a friend and get them to lift you up a little bit. And whenever I feel uncertain about a situation, maybe something that's new, like if you're launching a new business or if you're doing something new for the first time or you're pitching to an important client, then it really pays to kind of build yourself up, research, and practice a lot beforehand. That can help alleviate those feelings. And it can also be helpful to keep a journal and just outline all the good things that are happening, all the progress you've made. I know that I do that sometimes. Sometimes I feel like I'm not going very far. It's not happening quick enough. But then when you flip back through your journal, you'll see that you actually come a long way. So do all those things. Maybe have a mantra. Tell yourself, you know, Charlene, you're great. Craig, you're amazing. Like, when you feel yourself giving into it. And sometimes you just might need a break if you're feeling down on yourself. Take a break, reset your mindset, go for a walk, run, whatever it is. Call that friend that always boosts you up and has your back. And then just come back to it. It's something, again, that everyone experiences. You just have to really grab hold of it and tell yourself it's not really true.
Do you think it can be caused by, like, looking at others in your field and maybe where someone, comparison to where someone else is at? And do you think it's caused by that, or is it always more inward looking?
It can be a lot of different things. It can have to do with your level of anxiety, your upbringing. Maybe, you know, you had less than supportive parents, or maybe it was something people said to you early on and it's kind of stuck with you. And it can be that comparison. But the thing is, out there, we look at people, we see just the success, right? We see their last 10 minutes and how wonderful they're. We don't see the 10 years of rejection and failure, because I promise you, everyone has had that. So it's never a good idea to compare yourself. Everybody has had their ups and downs.
So let's say someone's listening and they've got an idea or a passion that they want to act on and turn into a business. Obviously, you have a lot of experience with entrepreneurs, both in your coaching and mentoring and in previously at higher education level. What's some of the first steps that an entrepreneur should take when they're trying to launch that business or that idea?
So what I always recommend is just thinking about your skills, your expertise, your background, what you're interested in, what you're passionate about, and then kind of drill down into what businesses might be a good match. Then once you kind of hone in on one, then you kind of research the market, look at the competitors, look at the products that are already out there, maybe survey some existing customers and find out where there's an unmet need or a hole in the market, or a way that you could service customers better. And then you've got your product or your service, and you want to just kind of get to know your target audience, survey again, more surveying, more research, just make sure you have that right. And then kind of come up with an MVP and determine, you know, how much people are willing to pay for it, if they really like your product or service better than what's already out there, and kind of use that feedback before you go into market. Something else that I really recommend when someone's just starting out is starting as a side hustle, you know, setting up the website, doing their business planning, getting everything together before they actually launch, because you want to have that traction and that revenue coming in before you give up that nice, beautiful paycheck you have coming in every other week. So I always say that when someone's just starting out, get your planning, get everything, all your research, all your homework done, and then kind of start building traction and then launch off into entrepreneurship once it takes off.
Good advice. I mean, you mentioned the MVP or minimum viable product. I think a lot of people want to build it to perfection at first, and then they might find that, okay, maybe I was a little off on my targeting, or maybe my offer is not quite right. I've even heard different people talk about, you know, people that have an audience maybe already talking about, hey, you know, audience, would you like it if I created this for you, and not have anything, and just see what interest there is before they build the program or the offer for their audience. So that's definitely good advice to not get too far down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, even something as simple as a teaser page, like you're saying, just to gauge interest, because a lot of us think we have this wonderful idea and it's the best thing ever. And then we launch and, you know, there's not really a demand for it. So it's really important to bring those customers and potential customers in the early stages.
Great idea. So I know each chapter of your book includes kind of a workbook style activity to help the reader take action and start thinking about the learning within the book. Is there a quick activity from the book that you can walk us through, the listeners through, something that they can start doing to get thinking about, you know, how they can make changes?
Yeah, I think something that would be really good for the audience, probably everybody, no matter what situation they're in, probably needs to work on their personal branding and their presence building. So this is one of the mindset shifts in the book, but I will go through the activity that goes with it. So when it comes to personal branding, we all have a brand, of course. We all want to be known for something, particularly as business owners, or even just in the corporate world, we need to make ourselves stand out. So when you're thinking about your personal brand, it can help for you, and this is part of the activity, to list 3 or 4 keywords that you want to associate with your personal brand. And this will be different for everyone, but it's your area of expertise, what you have to offer, what sets you apart from other people. And then you also want to kind of brainstorm about your values and passions. And you'll bring all of this together to create your value proposition statement. And this is the same as with any other product. You're the product. But what do you have to offer that sets you apart from other people in your industry, in your business, in your field? And then use that for an elevator pitch. You know, the word elevator pitch is kicked around so much and it seems kind of trite, but you really need that go-to when you meet someone new or you're pitching yourself to others. You need to have it kind of top of mind and ready to state as soon as you meet someone. So you kind of use all that to work together. And as part of that, you really want to brainstorm about what you want to be known for. Ideally, this is something that aligns with your business, aligns with your future goals. Sometimes even people that are switching positions in the corporate world, they might be in one job, but they aspire to something else. So the best way that they can kind of move themselves is to start angling that way. So this will help them. And then it also can really help to think about someone that you really admire in the world who has a great personal brand. And that's your idol. And think about the ways that you can emulate him or her. What do they do that you like? What can you do similarly to kind of build yourself up? Then from there, you have to kind of make 2 or 3 goals, your top goals in terms of a personal plan. What do you need to do and what steps will you take to make that happen? And then as part of this too, you really want to work on your networking. So think about the professional associations that you want to join or you've already joined. If you're not active in a lot, I really suggest getting out there. It's so easy now on Facebook, on LinkedIn. There's many of them. I joined the National Speakers Association when I started out, and I met so many great people there who are speaking, who are just big in terms of personal branding. And the more you listen to and network and talk to others, the more ideas you pick up, because everyone you hear has something valuable, a tip or a little tidbit here and there that you can use yourself. Then once you've identified those, then you kind of want to join, of course, and figure out how you can get active in those groups. You want to make a plan and start joining a conversation, and also look for some influencers in your field and try to start interacting with them as well. Follow them on their different accounts. And when they're posting content, just kind of join in and make comments on their content. You can even tag them in your posts as well. The more you insert yourself, the more you'll get back. And part of this too is really keeping up with your industry, reading about the different things that are going on, keeping up with industry publications, and just looking at ways that you can become more visible through thought leadership. And podcasting, Craig, like you're doing, is a great way for that. I find my favorite thing about podcasting is the networking and the people you get to know, both, you know, having guests and going on other podcasts. I think it's great. Other things are blogging. That's an easy way for people to start. And a lot of websites have blogging capabilities built right in. You can also think about writing a book, or you can actually contribute to media outlets through organizations like Help a Reporter Out, where there's journalists in different media outlets pitching or putting their needs in terms of quote needs, and you can pitch your idea to them and get featured. And all of this you should come together to showcase on your website. I really recommend that everybody have an area where they are showcasing their content, whether it's part of your existing website or whether you create your own. I've heard so many people, different people in the media industry, that they look for people. They look for those websites just to kind of find out who they are and research more about them. So I think it's really important. And then as part of this visibility, you're kind of going to list the micro steps that you'll make it happen. And you can't do all of these things because
this isn't a weekend project.
Completely overwhelmed, but just pick, you know, one or two areas to start. The important thing to do is just start. I know when I first started, I started blogging because that was easy for me just to kind of put that out. You have control over it. And then you kind of build from there, and it feels overwhelming, but over time, you know, you're visibility and your expertise and your network just grows and grows, and people will start approaching you for more opportunities. So this is a good way to get going, is just kind of laying out those plans.
That's a lot of great advice there. The interesting thing that I was thinking about when you were talking was the elevator pitch. And I think that's something that people don't think about. It doesn't always have to be a pitch, but it's a way to maybe explain exactly what you do and who you do it for. So, you know, if you're at a party or a networking group and you say you build websites, I mean, that's pretty general. Okay, great, Craig, you build websites. But if you say I build websites for med spa owners in Texas, then all of a sudden, you know, if you're in Dallas and someone lives in Dallas, they may not own a med spa, but they may know that Joe owns a med spa, or whoever owns a med spa, and they're able to refer you at that point. So definitely good advice to hone in on what you're really shooting for and be able to kind of communicate that to people when you are networking.
Yeah, so important, you know, and a lot of people kind of trip that up. As simple as it sounds, and as, you know, as much as we hear elevator pitch tossed around, they kind of mess up here and there, or they downplay it, or they overplay it. It's just, the goal is to make it simple and easy for them to understand, anyone.
That's great. So let's change gears here a little bit. For you personally, what tools have you found helpful in your business life?
So I'm a big bootstrapper. I try to do everything I can without spending money. It's really important for entrepreneurs, but I'm really a person who lives that. So I created my own website with GoDaddy, and they have a lot of capabilities built right in. And I think a website is something that we can really spend a lot of money on, you know, getting it just right. But I like the fact that I've been able to sort of build mine, and then I can hire people to come in and kind of upgrade that when I need to. So I think that's been good for starting out. The other thing I really like is Trello. I think that's great for project management, if you're familiar, if you have a team of people and you're moving things back and forth. And in terms of social media, I like Photo Wonder. It's an app that you can use to kind of modify your photos and add filters and do fun things. And PostMuse is another app where you can create your own kind of content and messages. And what I suggest for people is, social media posting can kind of be overwhelming. So I hire a photographer and I do a photo shoot, and I try to get as many pictures as I can. And then I try to reuse those photos. And then when you're going to your web designer like Craig, or you're going somewhere else, you have all these pictures to give them. And it's not a big, like, you have them all on hand. someone else who's better at graphic design, better at putting things together, can actually take them and do them. So I recommend that. And I can use them myself when I'm making an Instagram post or something and throw them into PostMuse quickly or Photo Wonder and something and make some everyday content. So those are some of the things that I really like.
Those last two tools I've never heard of, so I'll have to take a look and check them out. What's the biggest challenge that you've faced in business so far, and what did you do to overcome it?
The biggest challenge, I think, for me was just getting started. The first chapter of my book is taking action and making that leap. And I think I had a lot of apprehension with that, as many people do. So I would say that was my biggest one. And the way I overcame that is to kind of save up some money to jump off and make that leap and sort of just get all my plans together and start as a side hustle, as I did. I think otherwise it would have been challenging for me. So that was probably the biggest hurdle I faced.
That's great. So how long was it a side hustle for you?
Well, if I think back to the start, probably several years it was a side hustle. It grew a little bit at a time. So I'd say at least 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, I think a lot of people hope that it's a side hustle for 6 months. But, you know, the reality is it's kind of a grind.
It really is. It takes a while, you know, and it takes a while to establish yourself, especially if you're a solopreneur and maybe you're the brand yourself. It takes a little longer, I'd say, to get going and gain traction.
So what would you say has been the best moment in your business's history?
So, you know, there's been a lot of little things. I would say something that happened to me recently that I think was a big win is that I was able to get an endorsement for my book from Barbara Corcoran, The Shark.
And I noticed that.
Say it again.
I said, I noticed that. That's awesome.
And there is no bigger compliment than having a shark say yes to you, right? People are pitching at sharks all the time. So for me, that was a really big highlight. I love Barbara Corcoran. I think she's so creative, such a good role model for entrepreneurs, so helpful. So I'd say that was the most exciting thing that's probably happened so far. I know there's more to come.
That's awesome. So who do you consider a mentor, and what would you say is the most important lesson they've taught you?
So I would say that I've had a lot of different mentors along the way. You know, I can't pinpoint one specific person. Something that I've always been good about is when I'm in an area that I'm not familiar with, is getting help and asking a lot of questions. And I think that's the most important thing to do. When I was working on the book, book publishing is something, a business that I was not familiar with at all. And so I sat down with somebody and said, hey, you know, can you help me? Can you tell me what I need to be doing? Because it wasn't really about the things that I thought it might be, as much as it wasn't all about the writing. It's about building the brand. It's about pitching. It's about making the proposal. So many things that I hadn't really considered. And I've also met a lot of people along the way, and people will just tell me things like, you know what, Charlene, you're doing that wrong. This is the way it's done. And so I don't think of it as having a formal mentor, but I have just gotten so much great advice along the way, and I still keep doing that. And I really believe in the value of seeking those mentors. Like, for example, I want to launch into creating courses as something new that I haven't done yet. Done that through higher ed, but I haven't done it on my own. So I set up an appointment with somebody who was an expert in creating courses. And there's so many different platforms out there that I wanted to kind of have her help me break that down. So I think whenever you need some advice, hook up with someone who's an expert, whether it's someone you pay or someone not. I think it's great to pay people because you're taking up their time, right? So you don't want to just go out there. If you know somebody, fine. You can pay them for an hour, whatever it is. Find out what you need to know. And it doesn't always have to be a formal relationship. Then there are other mentors who are those people that kind of hold you accountable and keep you on track with your goals. And those are great long-term relationships too. So I think mentors come in all forms. And I've been fortunate to have many that I've worked with and others that I've kind of looked for on my own as well.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. I think a lot of people think of mentorship as a free thing, and a lot of times it is, and a lot of times it's through a book or in person. But I think the one thing to consider about paying for a mentor is not only sometimes are you getting a lot of value because you're getting their learning lessons, but you're also making a commitment, and sometimes paying for it gives you that mental commitment to like, okay, now I got to act on this. Because I'm actually invested with real money.
I think so. And I think, yeah, there's something about paying people, no matter what it is, but you are going to be on top of it and you are going to keep going after whatever it is. And I don't say you have to pay for everyone. I'm just saying, you know, there are some people that it is worth whatever it is to meet with them for an hour. It is, you know, definitely worth their time and worth the effort that both sides are putting in. So I say there's all kinds. And you know, the funny thing is back in the old days with mentors, it used to be this kind of formal relationship. It happened in one company. Everyone stayed with the same company for a long time. It's just not that way anymore. And sometimes people will ask people, can you be my mentor? And that person gets totally overwhelmed because it's like, almost, I say in my book, it's almost like asking someone to marry them, you know?
Yeah.
Like
what's like this commitment?
Yeah. So just kind of don't think of it that way. Just think about the different great people. And as you said, it's even just reading books or going to workshops or listening to webinars. Everybody, every single person will give you something that you can use. I promise.
So before we get to our last question, where can listeners find out more about your business and your book?
So my website is charlenewalters.com and I'm on Instagram at cwaltersphd. I am on Twitter, same thing. I am on LinkedIn, Charlene Walters, PhD. I'm on Clubhouse, C. Walters, PhD. Facebook, Charlene Walters. It's either C. Walters, PhD or Charlene Walters, PhD. And not because I'm trying to brag about the PhD, but it just, there's a lot of Charlene Walters out there. Yeah. So this helps me kind of define my brand. And I would love to connect with anyone out there. So feel free to follow or shoot me a message. I'd be happy to hear from you.
That's great that you mentioned Clubhouse. I literally last night was thinking, okay, I got to find out about this Clubhouse thing and jump onto it. And then I realized it's only on iPhone.
Oh, I didn't
there's
know.
There's no
iPhone.
Yeah, there's no Android app for it yet. So
not yet.
I guess I'm waiting a couple months, but
yeah, I mean, I tend to kind of wait and kind of hear what everyone's saying mm-hmm. for a while myself. And then once it's really catching on, then I jump on and I'm kind of a newbie at it myself. Oh, and also I forgot to mention my book. If you're interested in my book, it's called Launch Your Inner Entrepreneur. And you can find out more at launchyourinnerentrepreneur.com.
Perfect. So for the last question, if you could hop into a time machine and go back to the year that you launched your business or started your side hustle at that point, what was one piece of advice you would have given your past self?
You know, if I could jump back, I think just to, you know, to not stress, to not stress, everything is going to be okay, and not to be overly concerned. Part of me would like to say, I'd like to go all the way back and jump into entrepreneurship earlier. However, I do think I picked up a lot on the different steps in my career that have helped me ultimately. Just, I think it's important for everyone to know there's no one path to entrepreneurship. There's no one path in life. It's kind of a lot of ups and downs and zig and zags. But whatever you really want to do, if you put your mind to it and you start working on it, you'll get there.
That's awesome. Well, Charlene, thanks for joining us today. We've learned a lot and really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Craig. And thank you everyone for listening.
If you're a small business owner or looking to start a business, join the Small Business School Facebook group. It's a private community of people focused on helping each other grow their businesses. Join the community and let's help each other take our businesses to the next level. We'll see you there. If you'd like to learn more about our guest today or be a future guest on the Small Business School, go to craigstaley.com/podcast for more info. And of course, it would mean the world to me if you'd click subscribe or write a review for the Small Business School in your podcast app of choice. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.